Let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter number 3, this evening. And last year on Thursday nights, we talked about, I think we kind of just ended up with a topic. We called it Hot Topics of 2021, right? This year, we're going to start kind of the opposite. We're going to start on topics this year, what I would probably outline as avoided topics of 2022. And 21, and 20, and 19, and 18, and things we don't like to talk about. Follow me? We're going to look at some things like that, and I want to start out here in the next few weeks topping on a topic a little bit out of the ordinary that we don't talk about a whole lot, but the Bible does, and the topic is, you ready? Food. Amen. See, why in the world would you do that? Because I think you'll see it here in just the next few minutes, but just bluntly said, food can become a spiritual issue. And I want us to look at that together, all right? In Genesis chapter number 3, and I hope you take notes again this year, as you did, I hope, last year, as we look at these different topics. We try to focus in on Thursday nights and some more specific things and study them out. Covered a lot of different areas last year, and praise the Lord for that. I hope you write down a few things, and if you're writing down, I hope you write down this first before we read our text here to start us out, that the very first temptation in the Bible was to choose food over obedience to God. I know we're at the think with me tonight, right? Did you hear that statement? The very first temptation in the Bible was to choose food over obedience to God. Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." It's interesting to note, and just stay with me tonight because I think we'll build a foundation to talk the next few weeks, but it's interesting to note that the first area that Satan used to separate men from God was that of eating. Again, I know it's not a sin to eat fruit, all right? Personally, I don't eat a lot of fruit. Not because I don't like it. I do. Just a lot of things I'm avoiding there. It's interesting to note, and I know the issue in Genesis 3 is disobedience to God and sin. But I'm just saying, by no coincidence, was the very first temptation and the first time Satan tried to separate men from God, he used this of food. I'm going to build on that. The issue is not, again, that they ate fruit, but that they disobeyed. But the reality is that food was part of the initial spiritual conflict. You say, "Preacher, I think you're stretching things." I want to make a statement real quick. There are a lot of eating disorders out there, and by that, I mean eating way too much or not eating. And a lot of those originate because of a spiritual issue. A lot of them originate because of a spiritual issue. Let me explain, because you're all staring at me really weird, and I expected that, all right? People eat or don't eat because of conflict. People eat or don't eat because of great stress. People eat or don't eat because of anxiety. People eat or don't eat because of grief. And I could go on, but in every one of those areas and others, instead of running to God, they run to food, or they run away from food. For unfortunately, a lot of Baptists, food has become a form of entertainment. Food is an emotional mask. And I know it's something that you probably would have disagreed with if I just made the statement out in the parking lot, but I think by the time we're done here tonight, you'll see something that in a lot of people's lives, food has taken the place of God. They become consumed with it. It becomes idolatry in their life. And before you think, well, you're just going to preach on being fat, right? Too much food, being gluttonous, is wrong. But focusing and being so driven on even dieting can become a god in your life. You become focused on the wrong things. When I was in college, I wrestled in college. I got beat every time, but I wrestled in college. I never won a match. But I did wrestle. And I wrestled one year as one person I wanted to wrestle. No, I really wanted to wrestle them, quite frankly, because I didn't get along with them. And I wanted to wrestle. And they beat me. But they were smaller than me. And I wrestled that year because I wanted to wrestle him in the 150 to 160 bracket. It's pretty cool. Quit smile. Now you're smiling. Yeah, all right, yeah, all right. That's where I wrestled. But I'll never forget, I was sitting in school administration class. Did you take that class, Brother Price? Teacher was Dr. Behrens. Did you have him? All right. And he looked at me one class period, and I am how many years? I was probably 20, so 26 years later, and I can still tell you all about it, all right? I don't even know what he's talking about, but he made this statement. I'll never forget it. He said, all of us are going to have issues when we grow up. He said, take Travis sitting over there. If he's not careful, he's going to have weight issues when he gets older. I weighed 157 pounds when he said that. And I looked at him like, what in the world? Who in the world do you think you are, right? I was like, I'm not big. What are you talking about? But he knew. In less than 4 years from the time he said that, I weighed 280 pounds. You didn't have to say that, and you didn't have to say that. I got a wow and a big boy. Thanks, guys. No, that's the truth, all right? And I'm not standing in front of you as like some skinny mini, and I understand that, all right? But at the same time, you know, I'm thankful, and I'm not, I know some people are like, you shouldn't say that, right? It's just me. I can say whatever I want to about myself, right? You know, I this morning weighed 210 pounds, and I'm great with that. Doctor's great with that. My health is good. You know, he says you can lose some more, which I'm working on. I haven't stopped. Been trying to do that. But I realized at 280-plus pounds, that wasn't the highest I got. I never reached 300. but my health started falling apart way too young. And doctors started me on medicines and things like that. And all of a sudden, it hit me. This is dumb. And I say this to tell you this, that Dr. Behrens in my school administration class knew me, knew my family, and knew that food would be something that Travis Burke could easily run to. And he was right. And that had to be corrected. Quite frankly, had to be repented of. I can only share this to tell you I know what I'm talking about tonight. And that victory over food is a spiritual battle. Because, I'm about to show you these things, God associates eating problems with gluttony, fornication, drunkenness, which are all addiction issues. It's where he always throws and puts that and classifies it as. Now, some people, you know, you ever heard somebody say, I'm big boned, right? You know, and the fact is this, some people are going to be bigger than others. That's not an issue. And I'm not preaching this to promote a diet. I will not. I'm not. Zero. I'm not even going down, we may mention it in a few weeks, about our bodies being the temple. I'm just focusing on the fact that food can become a spiritual struggle for people. And it can be given the wrong place in someone's life. And, you know, some people are going to be bigger, some people are going to be smaller. That is not an issue at all. Doesn't matter, right? You know, I don't eat as much as Brother Webster. I've seen him eat. The man can put it down, man. But God made him with the ability to stay much smaller than me, right? If I eat half what he does, I'm in trouble. You know, it just, people are made differently. And that's great. Wonderful. But when it becomes an issue, and it becomes a spiritual issue, it did again in my life. I will tell you, I really conquered all of that. I'm not saying you don't ever struggle again, because I'm about to confess, but I got in a great place, was doing just awesome. And then, and this is my fault. This is where I again had to go to God. Between my sister's death and, you know, a change in complete lifestyle due to all the pandemic stuff and things, some family issues. My job's a little stressful at times. I allowed myself to slip in that area. So another reason why I'm preaching this is because I needed to get with God and say, all right, help me. And I got a feeling that others can be encouraged with this too. That food can become a very spiritual issue in someone's life. So I want you to note just a few things as some foundation tonight. And if you'll stay with me, I think probably by the end of the message, you'll be like, never thought about this, all right? So stay with me. We wrote down number one, that the very first temptation in the Bible was to choose food over obedience to God. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. As you're turning to Matthew chapter number 4, let me give you Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, the Lord faced the same battles we face, yet without sin. The very first temptation ever introduced in the Word of God is to choose food over obedience to God. Second thing I ask you to write down is this: the very first temptation of Christ concerned food. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made what? Bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The very first temptation in the garden, and the very first temptation that Satan threw at the Lord Jesus Christ. Interestingly, both dealt with food. And we're focused on food. Should we not consider at least tonight that Satan will use food to tempt us away from God? It should be something that we at least recognize tonight. It's something that's repeated in two very pivotal moments in our Bible, right? And here food was used. In this verse right here, the Lord acknowledges the need of food. Man shall not live by bread alone. He acknowledges the need of food. There is a need to eat. God created our bodies. Please eat. Amen. Please eat, all right? God wants you to eat. What should we be eating for strength, for the glory of God, to be able to work, to be able to do these things? But the Lord, he acknowledges that need for food, but you'll notice there in verse number 4, after acknowledging the need for food, he puts the preeminence and the priority on the word of God. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's what I'm trying to introduce tonight, is that simply this, the devil will use food to hinder our spiritual lives. I'm jumping way ahead of my sermon, but I'm just telling you the truth as a pastor who's counseled a whole lot of people now. That there are people that food and weight, either too much or a lack of, makes them feel unaccepted, isolated, not able to serve, useless. All kinds of things the devil throws at him. And the devil uses these things to greatly hinder her life. The Lord here says, yes, food is necessary, but the priority is the word of God. By no coincidence does the Lord not refer to himself as the bread of life. Amen? That's where we find what we need. So number one, that first temptation. Number two, the first temptation of Christ was concerned about food. Number three, I ask you to write this down. One of the greatest illustrations of lust in the Bible had to do with food. One of the greatest illustrations of lust in the Bible. Turn back to Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11. Again, just use your Bibles with me real quick. Numbers chapter number 11. And in look with me in verse number 31. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 31. Numbers 11, verse 31. Again, I warned you, this year we're going to cover topics that we like to avoid, right? but it's in the Bible. We need to address it and talk about it. In Numbers chapter number 11, look in verse number 31. "And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp. And as it were 2 cubits high up on the face of the earth." God sent these quails because they wanted meat. I don't know if you've ever eaten quail. It's good. When I was in college, my roommate, Nate Starr, who one-time preacher, he's now assistant pastor in Texas, he hit one on the way home. He brought it in. I worked in the kitchen. We cleaned it, cooked it. It was delicious. Verse 32, "And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day. And they gathered the quails." It's quite the buffet. "He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hathaavah, because there they buried the people that" what? Lusted. Food became a lust in their life. Everybody see that?
Right.
Now, this principle is repeated. This illustration is repeated multiple times. That's why I say it's one of the most used illustrations in the Bible concerning lust was food. Look over at a few other references. Go over in Psalm chapter number 78. Psalm chapter 78. Verse number 17. Psalm 78 and in verse number 17. Psalm 78, verse 17. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. Follow along with me if you can. Psalm 78, verse 17. "And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their" what? "Lust." All right? Psalm 78, verse 18. "They asked meat for their" what? "Lust." It wasn't something they had to have. God was providing their needs. But this had become a lust in their life. "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation." They wanted what? Food, meat. It was of their own what? Lust. The reason in verse number 22 is because they did not what? Trust and believe in God. You follow me? Their focus, their faith wasn't there. It says in verse 23, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow into heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them and as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and he let it all fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their what? Lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Again, this lust brought destruction in their life. A lack of, again, a spiritual issue, right? It's a spiritual issue. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. That they wanted this, they lusted after it because they did not believe God. Interesting, right? Turn over to Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse number 13. Psalm 106, verse number 13. Just a few pages to the right. 106, verse number 13. Again, the same illustration used again. It says, they soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel. But verse 14, what's the next word? Lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent what? Leanness into their soul. Spiritual issue. Leanness into their soul. All of this is referred to again in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 10, 5. God judged them because their lust for food was above their love for him and their faith in him and their trust in him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5, referring to the same thing you see about talking about the rock, a spiritual rock in verse 4, verse number 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our what? Examples to the intent we should not what? Lust after evil things as they also what? Lusted, neither be what? Idolaters as some of them, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to what? Eat and drink and rose up to play. Idolatry, lust. They had tempted God. They allowed these things. Lust is an issue. It always leads to sin if not corrected. James chapter 1, verse number 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Food can become a lust issue in your life. We always just associate lust with the sensual, all right, and things like fornication, idolatry, and things like that, or adultery and things like that. But the fact is this, lust is anything, any desire that is beyond what God would have you to have, that you meditate on, that if you don't put it in check, will result in a sin in your life. And if that's not put in check, it brings death. Quite frankly, and you just said, there's a lot of Christians that are eating themselves to the grave. Because it's not ever put in check. Lust and food are related repeatedly in the Bible. For time's sake, we're going to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 25, there's a story about a man named Jacob and his brother named what? Esau sold his birthright and gave up everything for a bowl of pottage. Did that become a spiritual issue in his life? Oh, yeah. There are so many people that are hindered spiritually. They hinder the blessings of God in their life because of a wrong attitude towards food. It becomes a spiritual issue. Again, make sure you follow what I've said tonight. It's not just eating too much. It's a focus, an unnatural focus on food. people can become so consumed with even the opposite of not eating or dieting that, see, what do you mean by that? People have time to exercise every day, but they never have time to open the Word of God. They have a focus on wrong. If people have the ability to stop every day and count all of their calories that they've eaten every day because their God is their belly, I'm not talking about people that are overweight. Their God is their belly, but they don't have time to ever spend time pouring their heart out to Jesus. It's wrong. I would write down this next fourth thing. Fourth statement tonight laying the foundation is gluttony is a sin. Gluttony is a sin. Again, topics we try to avoid all of our life in church, but it's in the Bible. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 21. Deuteronomy chapter number 21. By the way, I study these things, and I want to go over these things I've already told you in my life, and I'm going over it here in the next few weeks because, again, I'm not just going to hit this on a sermon and go on to something else. There has to be, as I just talked about in our Hope ministry, we have to let the Word of God transform our mind. So we have to focus on something like this for a couple, week after week, to start letting the Spirit of God say, and wash away some of the wrong thinking and replace it with the right thinking. In Deuteronomy chapter number 21, look with me in verse number 20. Deuteronomy 21, verse number 20. And they shall say unto the elders of a city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. Look what it says. He is a what? And a what? See the two associated? By the way, people that are addicted to alcohol, I just talked about this in 2 Corinthians in our Hope ministry. Paul said, "Don't you've been saved. Don't let this go in vain. Don't become a stumbling block to other people." That's what Paul said. Don't become someone's excuse for not doing right. And let me give you a good spiritual example that a lot of people that are addicted to alcohol will point at our independent Baptists and say, so you'll talk about alcohol, but you won't talk about gluttony. God associated them together. So we're going to put them together tonight too. Amen? It's compared to the look over in Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs 23. Again, I want to inundate this foundational message on this topic with scripture after scripture because I don't want this to be a rant. I don't want this to be a Travis Burke opinion or diet plan or non-diet plan. We're just looking at what God's Word says. And let the Word speak for itself. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 19 says, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among what? Winebibbers. Among what? Riotous eaters of flesh. Once again, God puts these things together. For the drunkard and the what? Glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. God puts these two things together. Too many Christians are destroying their lives and their time of service because they just won't put a knife to their appetite. We condemn the drunkard, but God relates the drunkard with the glutton. Both the drunkard and the glutton are using substances to cope with their problems instead of turning to God. Both the glutton and the drunkard are using substances to cope with their problems instead of turning to God. We have just made it more acceptable. Remember how the Corinthian church, Paul rebuked them because they had made acceptable a man living in fornication? God forbid, right? And we're really quiet, but God forbid. nor should we this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now again, we're not God made like Brother Alexander. God made him to be a little bit bigger. Now, could he lose some weight? Probably. And he'll tell you that, right? And he's working on it too. I talked to him, right? We had these discussions. But he told me one day, he said, God made me big. He said, I would look stupid tiny. That's what he said. He said, and he has his health now. You know, he was heading down the wrong direction, and he pulled the reins back. Praise the Lord for that. So just if you see someone, you know, well, they're a little overweight. The doctor says everything's obese. Right. You know, you're like, you're 2 pounds overweight. You're obese. Right? You know, I could lose 2 pounds going to the car tonight. I just, for whatever time, my wife hates that, but my weight fluctuates. It's just like, tomorrow I may gain a pound, and tomorrow I lose 3. And my wife says, how do you do that? It's not fair. But when I gain it, she laughs at me. That's not fair. You know, I don't want you looking at someone and be like, well, they're in sin. No. But I'll tell you this, if you are in sin, you know it right now. Because the Holy Spirit does an awesome job at telling us when we need to listen to things. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What's Paul saying? I can't let my life get under the power of anything but God. The first illustration he uses about your life getting under the power of something else is meats for the belly, and belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for what? But for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God associated gluttony with drunkenness, and here with fornication. Amen. I think we all would be very quick. God forbid it happen. Well, if one of our young men or young ladies commit the sin of fornication, we will demand that they get right with God. They need to get right with God. You would amen me if I just made that statement a week ago, right? Right? God related the two. We allow the sinful indulgence and put it in the same category what God did as fornication and idolatry and drunkenness. I'll make another statement when we allow this to become this issue in our life. I'll just say it this way. The way the Bible says, you're acting like an enemy of Christ. That's a bold statement, isn't it? But look over in Philippians chapter 3. Again, it's not like I wanted to come up with these statements to make myself feel better. This is just what the scripture says, and I need this reminder tonight. I need this transforming in my mind, and I hope it's a blessing to others. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 18, Philippians 3 verse number 8, verse 17 says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for ensample. For an ensample. There's good people to watch and follow and pattern your life after. Verse 18 of Philippians chapter 3. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. When we make our belly a god, which I've told you is either ditch of that road, we are acting as the enemies of Christ. I know that's a hard thing to amen, but that's what the Bible says, so amen. My flesh may hate that, but it's the truth. For many walk, whom I've told you, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly. You say, well, you know what, let's spiritualize that. Well, you probably can, but the Bible says what it says for a reason. You can make your belly a god by eating riotously or ritually. That you become so focused on foods or even diets that you exclude the Lord. Like I said just a moment ago, and I got ahead of myself, there's people that won't miss their 45 minutes in the gym, but they can't share what they've read in the Bible this week. There's people who can tell you how many calories they've eaten today, or how many carbs they've eaten, or how much fat they've eaten today, but they haven't taken the time to bow their head in prayer. There's people who will spend a whole lot of money on the next diet plan or exercise machine that they have on TV, but they never have the opportunity to tithe. Your God is your belly. You can see, I hope, why we're teaching on this, because God doesn't want our life to get out of focus on food. And let's just be honest, it's a great hindrance and a weight, no pun intended, in a lot of Baptist believers. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, let's go back there, Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy 8 and in verse number 3. And we're wrapping up the sermon, so stay with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3 says, and he humbled thee, Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Again, in John chapter 6 and verse number 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. There's a reason why Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, because when we need our strength, that's where we run first. When we need our comfort, that's where we run first. When we need our health and a healing, that's where we head first. I would just ask you real quick this evening, what is food in your life? God wants us to be spiritually minded, and if we're focused in an unhealthy focus on food, be it gluttony or diet even, our mind is not where it should be. Food is necessary. It is. And there's nothing wrong with eating food. There's nothing wrong with eating good food. Nothing wrong with eating a little sweet every once in a while. Just one some of you, right? Right? Bible refers to eat honey. That's great. But if it's making you sick, stop eating honey. That's what the Bible says. It's all about understanding this simple statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there. Just two more scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Look with me down here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 31. Again, I don't believe the Holy Spirit made any mistakes in the words he chose. Amen? And we always quote this verse, but we probably don't think about it. Whether therefore ye what? Or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This is where we'll pick up next week. You know where why we eat, why we should eat? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. There are some people that are so proud of their diet and their rock-hard abs and their lack of eating, and they do it for this purpose. They like the glory. And there's some who are big and enjoy it because they're known as that. That becomes how they identify themselves. and it becomes their glory. And our eating needs to be about the glory of God. And what we eat about giving him the glory. Close with this, Matthew chapter number 6. Read this with me and we'll pray. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. Matthew 6 and verse number 25. Just to close the sermon, it's been a weird sermon, so let's end it a little oddly. We're going to read from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. I'm going to read a verse, then you read a verse. All right, I want to do that so that we're thinking as we're reading and following along very closely. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Start there next week.